Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Good morning, Chris Vandercook.
Good morning, Beth Ann. It's all too clear that the struggle for abortion rights is far from over, yeah?
Far from over and maybe strengthening in certain ways and being undermined in others.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that this morning. Now, you know that terminating a pregnancy is one of the most personal and private actions a woman can take. It's also one of the most politically contentious. Women are often pitted against the fetus they carry. And in some states, women are legally required to have an ultrasound before termination, deepening the stigma already felt by some women who, for whatever reason, have chosen abortion. Carol Sanger is a visiting professor from Columbia University. She's teaching at the Law School during J-term, and her soon-to-be-published book is about abortion, terminating pregnancy in 21st century America, and she joins us this morning in our studio. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
There's often so much secrecy surrounding abortion, and in many cases, women feel for very good reason that they're told that they are selfish or that they are shameful for taking that course of action and that they should be stigmatized. What happens as we move through the era of changing political climate where we have women who have been, in some cases, brought up to believe that they should be able to make a choice and now have been feeling so much more pressure to have to undergo so much more than they thought they were going to have to do to be able to take control of their lives?
There was some hope this summer that the Supreme Court handed down a case dealing with Texas legislation, which seemed to end the free reign that states have been having in passing all kinds of regulation and having to offer very little evidence as to why it was good for women. This case was called Whole Women's Health. And the concern now is that under the new administration, Whole Women's Health might, with the next appointment, be unwound, returning to the states sort of carte blanche power to do pretty much what they want in terms of regulating facilities, regulating providers, and regulating women. And the way that women are regulated is through the mechanism of what's called informed consent. Before you have an abortion, we want to make sure you understand not just that an abortion ends a pregnancy, but that it comes very close to killing a child in the language. And so when you mentioned that women have to have an ultrasound, they not only have to have an ultrasound, which sometimes is done under even without regulation, a doctor may want to know exactly how the duration of the pregnancy, but they have to be told, and this is in the language of the statute, would you like to look at your unborn child? And if they decline, they have to sign a paper saying they declined with this added little threatening touch, and this will be kept in your medical files for 5 years. So that serves no purpose other than to sort of harass the woman to make it clear she understands she didn't want to look at her child, and that's the word that's used.
For women who are hearing this and thinking, okay, but we have Roe v. Wade, mm-hmm. The point is that all of this could be done without necessarily deconstructing Roe v. Wade.
That's right. I think that the Roe v. Wade is unlikely to be overturned. I think we're at least three Supreme Court appointments away from overturning Roe. And even then, I'm not sure it would be overturned. But it's not necessary to overturn it because the real decimation of that case came in a 1992 case called Casey versus Planned Parenthood. And that's the one that said states may start regulating abortion from the moment of conception. And Roe had said the first 12 weeks were relatively regulation-free because abortion was such a safe procedure. The authority to regulate comes from the fact that abortion is a medical procedure. And what's happened is that many non-medical aspects of abortion have been now stuffed into the informed consent requirement. And they're all sort of premised on the fact that women don't know what they're doing. They're acting hastily, which is why we have to have in many states, 48-hour waiting period. You go to your physician. You have a pregnancy test to verify you're pregnant. You want an abortion. They say, all right, we can schedule one, but only in 48, some states up to 72 hours later. Go home and think about it to make sure this is what you really want.
Is that a paternalistic attitude toward women, or does it go beyond that?
Well, it certainly is paternalistic, but I think it does more than – I think it's certainly paternalistic in that from all the work I've done, women don't have abortions on a whim. It's an extremely it's a decision that's taken very seriously, as it would have to be in our culture. Under President George W. Bush, he created and was what was called a culture of life. That was the aura that he identified with his administration. And so having we still have a kind of culture of life. I don't think women can not deal with – I think most women today regard it as a serious decision with slight moral overtone, even though they know it's what they want to do. They know it's best for themselves and for their families.
You mentioned the word families. That brings up the idea that many of the women who are choosing abortion are, in fact, already mothers and are simply trying to make a determination of what's good for themselves and for the rest of their families. Or in some cases, a family has fallen apart and a pregnancy has occurred, or a partner may change a perspective on whether or not they want that pregnancy. That calls into question this idea of the very black and whiteness of this decision.
Yes, it does. So everyone assumes, or everyone has in their mind, the idea of who's a kind of woman or girl who would have an abortion. And certainly the courts have made clear that – state courts have made clear that there's a – it's kind of a promiscuous sex, convenient way out, shirking the responsibilities of motherhood. But in fact, it's much more complicated than that. There are pregnancies that are very much wanted, which become unwanted over time, either because a partner leaves and has no interest, or because there could be physical problems with the fetus, which make a projected life with a child with a congenital anomaly very difficult. So it's not so clear even what a wanted or unwanted pregnancy is.
And now we have an issue with Zika.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately with Zika, yes. You may not know until you are hitting, you know, week 24 or 25 that there really is a problem with microcephaly.
Yes. So Zika presents – Zika is, you know, a dreadful thing that we're dealing with now. But it highlights something very interesting about abortion. States have passed laws trying to harass women, basically. And one of the – but they're very, very clever about it. So one of the new tactics has been to say to attack abortion as a discriminatory practice. And so a number of states have said – passed laws saying if you cannot choose abortion on the grounds of fetal disability because it violates anti-discrimination, or you cannot choose abortion on the grounds of sex, or one or two have national origin. But when you talk about disability, Zika, a fetus with a Zika virus is going to be severely disabled. And yet that wasn't the target that the states had. It was a kind of political move to say, look, women are not only aborting fetuses, they're aborting the most vulnerable fetuses. It's sort of further demonizing women who make that decision. And then a number of states have reduced the period of time in which you can have a legal abortion to 20 weeks. Ohio just tried to make it 6 weeks, which Governor Kasich challenged, and it turned back to 20. But you don't know whether a fetus has Zika until the 24th week. So this highlights the sort of difficulty, I'd say cruelty, of abortion regulation in a circumstance where we have great compassion for the pregnant woman.
And makes it even more complicated for a lot of women to make a decision.
Absolutely
that
right.
Many believe should rest with her alone. I wish we had more time to talk, Professor.
Right.
Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Visiting Professor Carol Sanger is a professor of law at Columbia Law School. She teaches contracts, family law, and advanced seminars concerning women's reproductive lives. And she is teaching at the Law School J-Term. A class this Friday is a public class that will happen at 5:30. Her forthcoming book about abortion, Terminating Pregnancy in 21st Century America, is due in March.
Thank you.